Good morning, everyone. If you would please stand, let's grab a hymn book and turn to page 457. 457, to God be the glory. Let's sing all three verses. Sing with me.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But glorer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't He a great God?
Amen.
Indeed, it's an understatement to say the great things He hath done. Everything He does is great. Everything He does is tremendous. And what a great God He is to be our privilege. What a privilege it is to be able to come together with the people of this great God and worship Him. Exalt Him. Lift up that name, the lovely name, the tremendous, powerful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to see you this morning. Good to be here together with you. Trust the Lord is going to meet with us in a special way. We have the missionaries with us, George Wyatt and his dear wife, and he'll be giving us an update on their ministry and preaching for us today, and I am looking forward to that and covet your prayers for them. Well, I also see some visitors as I look around, and we're thrilled to have you with us today. Trust that God is going to do something tremendous, anticipating that He indeed is going to meet with us for His glory and for our good. But what we want to do right now is welcome each other, take a couple minutes, shake some hands, and say, it's good to see you.
Every promise in the Lord is good. Every time we have the God in our hearts, all the good things God will be for us.
Okay, if you'll return back to your seats and remain standing, let's turn to page 60. Page 60. I must needs go home.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. It's in there gets tight of the gates of light. If the way of the cross I miss, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Let's sing it all.
I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
us once more. Let's turn to page 395. 395.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
'Twill be my endless theme in glory.
'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony. When the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
You may be seated. Jim, if you'll take your place and get ready to receive this morning's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements while y'all come in here today. As preacher already announced, glad to have the Wyatts here. He's going to be preaching for us here in a little bit and get a chance to get by and see his table back there and shake his hand, visit with him personally. And if he holds it there a little bit too long, go ahead and put that $50 bill in there for him. So he'll appreciate that. Folks, immediately after the service this morning, we invite everybody
Amen.
To stay and have lunch with us. Hey, you got to eat somewhere. And I guarantee you won't have any better food than what we have here today. We got plenty of it around, so everybody's welcome to stay. Want everybody to come and stay with us here. Got ladies' brunch. It's going to be on Tuesday, which is normally on the 7th. They bumped it up a week because of Labor Day and everything. So this coming Tuesday, the ladies' brunch at Cracker Barrel over on 35. The visitation is going to be Thursday at 6 o'clock. The ladies' conference is coming up here on the 22nd. Miss Marcia asked if you have any fall decorations that she could borrow to let her know. And the sign-up sheets on the back. And, guys, I don't know for certain, but fall decorations could be taxidermy. I mean, that's when all the deer have antlers on their head and everything. So, I don't know. She's ready to throw something at me right now. The missions conference is going to be the 21st, the 25th. Please be praying about that. And one more new thing. We're finally getting our directory real close to being finished. And finally, we have got a digital copy on our website. It's password protected, so I don't know what the password is. If you want to know, call the office and ask Miss April. She's the one that keeps this place running and little things like that. She knows what it is, so ask her about it. Anyway, look at it, see if everything's correct. Can it be corrected while it's there, Miss April? Any information, can it be corrected while it's there? Okay, she can correct you. Look at it and say, yes, that's my number, that's my face, but no, that's not my, never mind. Anyway, so look at it, enjoy it. And Brother Matt's got there's a couple of thank yous in there from the Russell family, and also Brother Matt's got a thank you in there. He's starting to receive his packages. I'll let the preacher tell you more about that here in just a second. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for those who's here, but Lord, asking to be those who's not here today, Lord, whether they're traveling or illness, Lord. Lord, please have your hand on them, Lord. Be it the offering about to receive. Be it the gift and the giver. Lord, please be the missionary here in just a second. He's fixing to come up and present his field. Lord, I'm asking you also to hide him behind the cross and give him the words you want him to say. But Lord, please prepare our hearts to hear, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. David was a shepherd boy in his father's land. While beasts were threatening, so David made his stand. An expert with a sling, courageous for his years. He slew a lion and a bear. God was very near. Goliath was a Philistine, a giant in that land. He challenged men of Israel to fight a man to man. No soldier volunteered, young David came forth. He said, I'll slay that giant, the battle is the Lord's. He selected fast with stones, no armor did he need. David yelled, Goliath, I'll take thine head from thee. Then ran to his challenger and met him face to face. The first stone slew Goliath, and God received the praise. Giants don't look as big when God is by your side. So walk with Father, most giants will run and hide. But if one turns to challenge you and tries to make a stand, you can slay your giant if your faith is in God's hands. A giant is coming into your life. Maybe here already, causing pain or strife. He's armed for the battle, his threats will keep you down. Attacks you when you're weakest, and no help is around. You can't slay your giant, God provides a way. So challenge him now, claim victory today. Such a prayer is your strength, God's word is your sword. Now stand to face your giant, the battle is the Lord's. Giants don't look as big when God is by your side. So walk with Father, most giants will run and hide. But if one turns to challenge you and tries to make a stand, you can slay your giant if your faith is in God's hands. You can slay your giant if your faith is in God's hands. God's hands. Thank you.
While Jim's taking care of all that stuff, I'll go ahead and share a couple things. Last Sunday, of course, we received a offering for the Soldier's Bible that helped Brother, or maybe I should say it this way, Captain Matt Holder had organized and put together. And the total cost of that project was $5,500 for the first 5,000 of those. And they have been printed. Bearing Precious Seed's printing ministry in Milford, Ohio, has them ready to be shipped to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where they'll be put in what Brother Matt described as a kicker box. And I know when I was in the Air Force, they had certain shipping containers and they have different nicknames, but they'll be put in a container to be a crate to be put on a plane to fly to Afghanistan, where they'll be distributed there. Well, Metropolitan, our church alone, gave over $2,200, and then there may be something else in the offering today to go towards that. So nearly half of the total cost of that was taken care of by Metropolitan. So I'm very grateful for the Lord's mercy and for your generosity. And Matt's expecting their home church there in Kentucky to do a great deal too, and hopefully some other churches. My prayer is that eventually enough would come in that they could ask for another printing of that and be able to have a supply of those for soldiers that not only are in Afghanistan, but also in other parts of the world as well. So please continue to pray for that. Also, all of you that have sent Gatorade. And if you've sent Gatorade, you know what that's about. He literally told me as I visited with him one day this week that he has soldiers come by the where his offices are there at their camp and say, "Is it true?" And I say, "What do you mean, is it true? Is there a slushy machine here?" And sure enough, they're in that 150, 120 degree weather. They're able to get a Gatorade slushy right there in the facility where Brother Matt is at. And did we get together that list and so forth? I'm assuming, I didn't say it, that back in the back and in both foyers, there's a list with the label and a list after. Wouldn't it have been nice if you think of these things ahead of time? He gave me a list of things that you could put in the box with your Gatorade canisters to send that would be a blessing to the. I mean, he's able then to as those things come to give them to the guys that are there, the soldiers that are there, and so you can pick those up in both foyers. And he told me he thinks he's got enough Gatorade to last 6 weeks. So I guess maybe we could send him some more if you're able. They're planning to be there. They would love to get home by Christmas. But he says it may be early January before they get to return from Afghanistan. So continue to pray for them. One thing he told me, though, the next deployment that he takes, he's going to make sure there's a slushy machine in the equipment, because when he returns, he plans on leaving it there, of course, for the next chaplain. So anyways, it's our pleasure today to have the Wyatts with us, and we're thankful for the Lord's ministry to them. And I'll just say the wrong thing. I won't remember all the details. I don't know how many years they've been in South Africa now. I'll let him update us on all that, what God's doing now. And also, Brother Wyatt will preach for us this morning. So please pray for Brother George Wyatt as he comes.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Good to be here this morning, and it's good to be with Metropolitan Baptist Church. We've been coming here for a long time, and you folks don't run us off, and so we come back. And we do that, and we want to say we appreciate that. And, you know, we haven't been here since you made these changes. We like this. This is good. And we appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers. You've been praying for us for a long time. Take one of our prayer cards. You'll see it back there on the back card table. And look at our display as well. And we appreciate you so much. You supported us for a long time. I was trying to think about how long it's been from the time we were first here, 79. October 4th or 3rd. Will represent 35 years since we touched down in South Africa in 1980. So you folks have been supporting us for over 35 years. So we appreciate that. That's tremendous. That's helped us to stay there, been an encouragement to us along the way, and we appreciate that so much. And, of course, all the prayers that's been offered on our behalf as well. All right, let's take our Bible, go to Romans chapter 1. And I'll have the men bring up the slides, and we'll read the verse, and then we'll go into the slides and talk about South Africa a little bit before we get into the message. But we're going to read verse number 11 and verse 12 of Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and verse number 12. For I long to see you. Paul is writing to these folks at Rome. A church had been established there. And people went there with the intent of establishing a church there. He said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. The work that we do is a work of faith, and it's by you, and it's also by me. Let me have my wife, Jackie, stand. And we've been married now for 41 years, and wouldn't replace her with anybody. We're thankful. Amen. And I don't know if she wants to replace me or not. But anyway, she says the golf club she has restored for the next guy is left-handed anyway. So This is what we look like before we go on deputation. And in case you're wondering, okay, you put on weight while you're here in South Africa, in America. I don't know where it comes from. I think they put it in cans or something. Anyway, we are church planters. That's what we do in South Africa. And there are 9 different provinces in South Africa. There's 11 official languages. There's at least 53 million people. The estimates go up to as high as 70 million people in South Africa. I will hear 5 different languages in a day. But here's a perspective of Africa itself. If you take the United States, continental United States, India, China, Argentina, Western Europe, a few other places, and you still have some land left over. Sometimes people will say, well, we have this new convert over in Nigeria. He got on our website. Would you drive over and help him, disciple him? I'd love to, except there's no roads and 3 civil wars. And but we can fly if you want to help with that. So anyway, we are out of Bible Baptist Church in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And my pastor was here last week. And that was a thrill to have him here and visit with you folks. Let me back up to him. Some of you folks saw him. And we have a couple of transplants from our church here, Paul and Erlene Hasty. And it's good to see them this week. And we've been looking forward to that. And, of course, what do we do as missionaries? What does a missionary do? Well, he evangelizes. He's got to get the seed out of the barn into the field where he is going. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Every time we turn around after we pass out gospel booklets, we find people reading them. And they're reading them, and we compel them to come in that God's house may be filled. And we're thankful for what God does. We use a lot of literature. We use this booklet. Always, the literature is bilingual. We often produce this ourselves. This is, Have You Heard the Gospel? Which Road? And a few other booklets like that. And then we use illustrations like this one. And, you know, you've heard people say, well, we're all going the same place, just a different road. Well, there's only one road that leads to heaven. And that's that begins at the feet of Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, not going to be getting there. Then we do in our teaching, we use a 3-legged table approach. Now, the legs of that table are out of one piece of wood. They're interconnected like a chain, and you carry them that way, but it makes them stronger because they're dependent on each other. So first of all, what does the Bible say? What does this verse say? Look up the words. Word study will help you with Bible study. So you find out what the words say, and then you, along the way, to find out what God wants to teach you. Then you look for application. Application right there in the passage of Scripture. Application other places in the Bible. And then, if you've studied properly, there'll be something that you've learned and something that you would do. And listen, that's the key to Bible study, is doing what you learn. I mean, sometimes, you know, God will help you. You know, you didn't learn this principle of truth, and you came face to face with that, and you'll go around the ridge and come back up, and you'll be right some place. And then you'll learn it again. I work through with people that, you know, they won't take this step of faith that God wants. They'll go around and then they'll come right back. And so we've got to learn and do what God's given us to do. Then we baptize the converts. And baptize means to immerse. And we do that under the water. Amen. And we're thankful for that. We immerse these folks here. Somebody said it looks like a grave. Well, the Bible said buried. Buried, amen. And then, of course, this one, it looks a little bit like a coffin. And so these folks got saved, and we baptized them this couple of years ago. And it looks like a coffin. Well, planted in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Then we spend time training and teaching the converts. We're establishing churches. So we teach them the same doctrines and truths that you learn right here. You do it in formal settings. You do it in informal settings. You do it one-on-one. You do it in the group. You're working and looking for faithful men that are able to teach others also. And that's the key to establishing good churches, is having the nationals there take over the leadership and teaching and preaching of those churches. So you do those things together, trying to bring that to a place where you can organize that church and let it carry on and start other churches. Now, over the time, we've been working with men like Liberty Ngeni. Worked with him since 2006. And he'd been in our Bible training program, been pastoring a church. Well, God spoke to his heart about him going to Nigeria as a missionary. And the church that we organized back in 2001, Majokinine Independent Bible Baptist Church, felt led to take him on as a missionary and sent him out to Nigeria to start that church. So we're pretty excited about that and how God's worked in that. The pastor's in the yellow shirt right next to me. His name is Zebulun Remetzi. They had a special service when they sent him out saying, "We're sending the light to Nigeria through this church here in Africa." And you know, all the things that God does here in America, he does on the foreign field. And we tell people that's what God wants to do. If there's a financial project, God's going to put the money in your pocket. You just need to reach in there and take it out and give it just like Americans do. And God loves you just as much as he loves them. Amen? And so he wants to work in their lives. Also, we have Oscar Mashumba. Oscar is a school teacher by profession, but he came down in 2008. And we started going through the Bible with him and showing him that he needed to be saved. And he says, "Now that I came to South Africa looking for treasure, and I found the greatest treasure that any man could ever find." Amen. And he felt God wanted to start a church. He's gone back to a little place called Chinoy, and he's teaching there. And, of course, we've given him lessons originated, I guess, somewhere here, Creation to Christ. And we've been working with those lessons, and he's been giving these students, and they're going through them, take them home, introduce them to the family. He gets into the family and to the home, and, of course, he plants a church in that particular place. So pray for him as he does that. And then we organized this church in Uganda back in, 2010. Okay, there we go. We got it. And Kiyuni James is pastor of this church. We've been up there a dozen times working with these people. And he's a school teacher by profession, came to South Africa, got saved. We trained him, took him back up there, been up there. And now they're carrying on with the work. Pray for him. He has a bout with typhoid fever. And some of those things are not real good to have in a third world country like that. But pray for them. But they have a missionary out of their church. His name is Angelo Magazzi, and he's down in a little town called Kakuto. And he's so excited that he has some folks there that he can disciple. And so he's got, and that's why we were baptizing there in the plantation in that lower section of Uganda. And certainly we work in South Africa. Now, we work wherever we are. I mean, as a missionary, as a preacher, as a soul winner, when there's people, you work. That's just the way it is. And so God brought some of these people from the rest part of Africa down to us. And we began to work with them. And then we're working with people there in South Africa. Now, somebody said this building wouldn't pass inspection here in America, and that they wouldn't let us use it simply because that door over there doesn't have an exit lighted sign above it. And people wouldn't know how to get out if there was a need. Okay. And anyway, you understand. Brother Stephen Mofia is leading that work. In fact, I haven't even been there for a year, and he's doing a great job there. Pray for them. They need some more faithful men in that place as well. And God's blessing in that, and we're excited about what's going on there in this place called Lakhlakhani. And then we're also working in Leklabili, and we've been working there for a little while, and God's blessed in that work. Meshach and Taboho are leading the Sunday school. Brother Stephen's coming down doing the preaching. We've just had four young men that have gotten saved and committed to the Lord. It's Leonard and Gregory and John and Nelson. And they're just out of high school, and God's working in their lives. We believe they're going to help us with the leadership there in the church and go forward. We do the same things that you folks do. We have dinner on the grounds, except it's usually on the grounds. You understand, okay? And we have Sunday school and special music and singing and rejoice in the Lord. We're working also at Dam de Rain. Dam de Rain is a marketplace of some 500 vendors that come from other places in Africa down to South Africa, and we teach them and preach to them. The man there in the gray shirt, his name is Douglas, and Douglas is from Zimbabwe, and actually Bulawayo. And then next to him is Janu, and Janu is from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and his first language is French. And then next to him is Joseph, and his first language is Chichewe, and he's from Malawi, and Blantyre. And I keep telling them, I said, you know, if I'd have got here 150 years earlier, they might not have even named this place Blantyre. They'd have named it after where I was born, Sky Gusty. And anyway, he didn't seem to think that was important. And then behind him is some men from Kenya. So the door is opening in various places for us to work. These two men are from Zimbabwe. They're in the training program, and God's blessing. Brother Raymond fills in for me when I'm not there. And then Tawanda's just gotten saved. We're praying for him that God will use him in a great way. And two more men from Malawi, Philemon and Harrison. And they're growing in the Lord as well. And then also John. And we're praying that a couple of these will get the same burden to go back to Blantyre and even start a church there. Now, we don't have a big congregation there. We meet in a garage. And if you have a double car garage, you have twice as much space as we have. But we enjoy preaching and teaching and God reaching souls. We're also working in the town where we live, Brits. And this couple we've been working with for some time. This is Peter and Eunice. They're from Kenya. And they love the Lord, want to serve the Lord. Also, we have a Bible study, and Manassas is actually leading that Bible study while we're away. He is a high school English teacher. They're from Zimbabwe, and they've got some other folks that are coming as well. We're working also with Victor and Fikili. They're in Soweto. Soweto is about an hour and 15 minutes away from where I live, and but it's a needy area. And he's been coming to our Bible college training program, and he said, you know, I didn't know the Bible. And now I'm learning the Bible. And now I go back and preach the Bible. And would you imagine that as I preach the Bible that some people don't want it and they leave? I said, well, thank God for the ones that stay and grow in the Lord. You listen, it's simple. You cannot lead goats, but you can lead sheep. Amen? And so we're thankful for them. And they put up a tent and take it down every single week. And, you know, that's dedication. Amen? And, well, we have lots and lots of grandchildren. This is ours. Of course, you met one of them when my son James was here not long ago. You met Gideon. He's standing right there in the front. And then my son Daniel has the other three. And then the brand new one my wife is holding. And his name is Judah Alexander. And we'll be seeing them soon. Then my other grandchildren. And this guy down here in the left corner, at least left to me, is incognito. Okay, he doesn't want people to know who he is. And we have to face some different things than you do sometimes. How many of you have monkey repellent? Anybody? Okay, well, sometimes you don't repel all of them. And actually, this is a baboon. And then you face some things that are bigger than you are. You ever face something bigger than you are? I mean, you need to be prepared for that. And sometimes the devil gets on your back. Somebody said, why didn't this cat eat us? Well, they don't know that you can eat people at this age. So I'm glad he didn't know that. All right. And but anyway, the devil gets on your back. You let the Lord take him off. Amen. And pray for us. We get ready to go back. There's some things to pray for. The men we left behind, our travels while we're here, our health. Of course, we're getting a little older in age and take big hands full of vitamins and stuff like that. Or vitamins if you're from South Africa. And then notice this, and I like this, the marks of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. And I'm thankful for Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's been sending people for a good long while. All right, if we can go back to our Bible, and I think this was for me, isn't it? It is now. Okay. All right. Anybody thirsty? This is exciting when it gets to be 105 or 10 in the building in Africa. And I had to stop things. I said, go get the water and let's bring it in. Everybody get a drink. And of course, people were going out and coming in, going out and coming in. And they passed one cup around to everybody. Then you drink of faith. Amen. All right. Mark, Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want us to look at this, what Paul says, because he talks about mutual faith. He said, listen, I want to come and I want to have and impart unto you some spiritual gift. And then he talks about mutual faith. So one of the gifts that he can impart to us in the preaching and teaching is faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Faith is so important in the Christian life. In fact, the Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. And in a sense, listen, he's talking about taking a handful of vitamins. You say, I only take one vitamin. Well, do it by faith. You take a handful of vitamins, then do it by faith. Whatever you do, it needs to be done by faith. And if I have to do that simple chore by faith, eating herbs or not eating herbs, it doesn't matter. If I have to do that by faith, what else must I do by faith? I need to do and operate my Christian life by faith. Now, notice here in verse number 1, Paul is talking about being a servant of Jesus Christ by faith. He's talking about being separated unto the gospel by faith. He's talking about in verse number 2, believing the Holy Scriptures by faith. In verse number 3, he's talking about the Son, Jesus Christ, the seed of David, according to the flesh, by faith. He's talking about being declared to be the Son of God by faith. All of these actions are to be done and believed by faith. Then we get down to verse 5, Paul talking about himself, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. So Paul says, I want to be obedient to the faith that God has given me, not just the body of doctrine, because a lot of people have the body of doctrine and really have no faith. I mean, just dead as a doornail. And God doesn't want us to be dead. He wants us to have a faith that's alive, that's active, even on a daily, hourly basis. He wants us to have that kind of faith. Verse number 8. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I mean, we read about Rome and how some Christians went there and they went there with the intent of starting a church in Rome. And here is a church that was thriving in Rome, right under the Caesar's nose, if you please. And Paul later says, the saints in Caesar's household salute you. Talking about people that had gotten saved as a result of people being obedient unto God. So he said, listen, your faith spoken of throughout the whole world. Now you understand that in that day, that was the center of that whole world. And that there was a great church in that place that was the center of the world. You know, wouldn't it be great if we had a great church in Washington, D.C., and half the Congress got saved, and half the Senate got saved, and the other half got right with God, and whatever. I mean, that would be great. And you'd be talking about, wow, their faith is spoken of throughout all America. And if we go on up to New York where the United Nations meets, and somehow we're able to get the gospel to those folks, and people started getting saved, and a great church was raised up there, their faith would be spoken of throughout the whole world. So our faith needs to be spoken of. And listen, our church may not be spoken of. I'm talking about Grand Forks, North Dakota. People around in the whole world may not know about it. But a lot of people can. And the same way with Metropolitan. A lot of people do know about it. And a lot of people are going to know about it in the future. But about your faith. Because it's by faith that we do what God's given us to do. And let's go over there for a moment for Romans chapter 14. Because I want you to see this verse, Romans 14, verse number 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I believe that day by day we come to a point of faith, or a crossroads of faith, a decision that requires faith. And because we approach those on a daily basis, if we're living by faith, and the just shall live by faith, then it's not a big serious problem there. But if we're not living by faith, then you can see that that could be potentially a tremendous problem in your home and in your life. You say, what do you mean? Well, Moses chose 12 men to go out and spy out the land. And these were men that he thought. Now listen, I think Moses thought that these men were leaders among their tribe. That means that they were men that believed the faith and men that were strong in faith and men that should have been men of great faith. And I'm going to send these men of great faith to go and spy out the land. And when they come back, we'll know exactly what we need to do. We'll go right into the land right away. I've got 40 years in front of me. We can go and do this. And Moses was excited about that because he chose men of faith. But somewhere along the line, practicality or fear or situations, or you ever heard people say this? That's just the way it is. It got in the way of 10 of those men. Look how big those giants are. Look at us. We're grasshoppers. That was not a much of a very high opinion. Now listen, it's not a very high opinion of God's soldiers. Now, don't get me wrong, being humble is a good thing. But they weren't being humble. They were being blind. They were saying, we can't do it. When God says, you can do it. I've sent you to do it. I want you to do it. And the other two men said, listen, they're bread for us. Let's go and take the land. So there's a point of faith in our life when this happens. I mean, there was a man by the name of Achan in the Bible. I mean, they were to go into the city of Jericho and they were to take these things and give them into the house of the Lord. And the next place they went to, Ai, it was shared among the people and they became wealthy. But somewhere along the line, instead of meeting this by faith, this man met it by greed. And because greed got the best of him, he caused a great failure among God's people at Ai. And they had to deal with the sin. The sin, really, when you back up, it was of unbelief. You go back to Adam himself, and really, the thing that plunged the entire human race downward and away from God and plunged us into where we're dead in trespass and sin is the fact that he did not believe God and chose the wrong path. So, we find in Jesus' day, John chapter number 6, he was preaching to a great crowd of people, and then they went away. Why did they go away? No faith. They didn't approach his teaching. They didn't approach his preaching. They didn't approach this thing that God wanted by faith. And because they didn't approach it by faith, they went away. He turned to the 12 and said, "Well, you'll go away also?" And Peter stood up and said, "No. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I mean, this is the life that we live by faith in the Son of God. And there's no place for us to go. Jesus is the answer. And when we find in 1 John chapter 2 verse 19, they went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they've been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. What was the difference? Did they start dressing different? Different color suits, different color ties, different color shirts. What was the difference? Faith. That was what's different. Their faith became different. But on the other side of this, when things are approached by faith, we find Moses. Now, I have to say this. I don't know why this happened this way, but when Moses was born, his parents looked at him and said, "This is a proper child." Well, I said that about mine. This is a great child. I mean, what parent wouldn't say that? But see, theirs was more by faith in the sense of wow, God wants to use this man to deliver Israel. And they knew that when they held this baby in their arms. Is that how you hold your babies? I'll tell you why I'm here today, I believe goes back to the fact that my folks, my mom and my dad, got saved back in the early 1952 or late 1951, and they got saved. And they were having a revival across the mountains in southern West Virginia, and they loaded them all up in a dump truck, took them across the mountain. They got saved. My mother was baptized. They broke the ice in the river in January so that she could get baptized, and I didn't even get a cold. It's 2 weeks. I'm not sure which one with us. Not born or after I was born. It didn't matter. I still didn't get sick. Okay? But my point is this. They believed in dedicating at that time. And here was a proper child. They gave me to the Lord. And here I am. And so, listen, that's not a bad thing. It's by faith. And God took them up on that and chose to use it. I wonder how many times we dedicate a child to God and then take him back for our own purpose. Shame on us. That's not by faith. Joshua, you know, Moses so many times put that stick down on the ground. Grab that snake by the tail. Well, at least the right end. Amen. Faith. Moses saw so many miracles. And yet at the end of his life, Moses, what else do you want? He said, well, I just want more you. I want to see your glory. He's seen all these miracles, but he wanted to see the glory of the Lord by faith. And God hid him and covered him and went by. Listen, when Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land, they believed God and brought back a report that says, yes, we can go to the other, and take this land. In Acts chapter 6, when they had a problem in the church and some people weren't waiting on these tables and they had a need there, they sought out wisdom from God. And the wisdom from God said, choose 7 men that can wait on these tables and we'll give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the Word. And God put that church together. Now, let me talk about that for a moment. Metropolitan Baptist Church. People. Now, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, that word assembly means like Sunday morning. Amen? You shouldn't miss church. Amen? Well, most of you agree with that. You're here this morning. Okay. But wait a minute. There's more that God's doing in the body than just meeting together. He's putting it together. The Bible talks about it being fitly framed together. Talks about us coming in the unity of the faith to where the joint. Okay, the joint, the fellowship of church members being the thing that is the strength of that church. Okay? Now, if me assembling together, me being put together with this body to make this body function. You know, I wouldn't trade places with that guy with the guitar. I mean, that was lovely. But that's not me. You'd all leave if I got up here to try to do that. I had one of those one time. It didn't make that noise for me, you know. And the microphone, it didn't make that noise for me either. So not all of us can be the singers. Not all of us can be the preachers. Not all of us can be the greeters. But there's a lot all of us can do. We can all be the prayers. We can all be the givers. And there's other things that we can fit in and do. And listen, if I resist, what God has for me in that body, then I'm forsaking the assembling in God putting that body together. You know, I'm just older than your pastor. So if you know how old he is, you know how old I am now. I'm about less than a month older than he is, okay? And so that's young, okay? Just clarify. But when is the time to step aside? I stepped into this job by faith. I'm glad my son's going to Africa. I can go and support him. Take care of my grandsons. Amen? So I can maybe stay in Africa a little bit longer. But when's the time? Again, a decision that you make by faith. As long as I can keep going by faith, I can keep going. Because God is bigger than all these things. And God wants me to go forward. And so when we look at the Scriptures, we look at this book of Romans, and listen, in chapter 11, verse 20, he says, listen, by faith we stand. And if we stand, we shall not be moved. And so I need to be faithful in standing where the Bible says to stand on all issues and not be moved by society or government. Listen, we shouldn't be going to the world to get our standards. They should be coming to us to get standards. It should be that way. And even if they don't follow them, let's stay where we ought to stand. I'm sure thankful that the prodigal son's father did not move when the prodigal son went off. Can you imagine that son coming back and say, wonder where father went to? That wouldn't have been a good situation. We stay the same. We stand where the Bible... Listen, the worship, the service of God, the services that we have, the kind of prayers that we are... These are timeless. And we stay there and stand by faith on those things. Romans chapter 4, it talks about being strong in faith, like Abraham. That Abraham just kept going forward, believing God. 100 years old and fathering a child, and his wife being 90 years old and mothering a child, and how God brought that to pass. And he didn't even consider that it could fail. And when he took Isaac out there on top of the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice, before he even went, he said, I and the lad will go there and worship and come again. There was no doubt he was bringing his son back with him. He believed that. He was strong in faith. And you and I need to be strong in faith. We need to have faith that serves. And be willing to serve even as Jesus served, because Romans 15 says he pleased not himself. And you and I need to not please ourselves. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I need to please Him and do it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now listen, that means I need to believe what God said and believe that God's character is of such high quality that He cannot and will not lie to me. And what He's told me here in this blessed book is what He wants me to believe. And if He wants me to believe it, there's always going to be action of which I must do something according to His Word and His will. I need to be giving myself to God. Need to have faith that spreads. Go to Romans chapter 1. Verse number 17, notice what he says. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So I have faith, and it spread. Okay, as my faith in Jesus Christ. I got saved on a Sunday night, January 31st, 1971. And I'm thankful for that night that I got saved. Next day, good friend of mine, we were in Air Force together. He had come. I'd just arrived at that base about 2 weeks earlier than he did, and that's how I got to North Dakota by the United States Air Force. They sent me up there to the regions beyond the cold tundra and where there's a girl behind every tree. But there's no trees in North Dakota. So anyway, my wife is from North Dakota, so I found one tree. My good friend Joe and I had lunch the next day. And I said, Joe, if God were the Lord of your marriage and your home, your marriage wouldn't have fallen apart so quickly. He'd only been married 6 months. It was a mess. Now, I didn't know what I had said. But I believed it. You know what I mean? I believe that. That if God were the center of something, it's not going to fall apart.
Amen.
He's the center of this universe. And by Him, it stays together. God is a God of order. And so I said that. And we talked about many other things. And later he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I have no idea what I mean, but I'll tell you what I do know. Last night, whereas I know I was lost yesterday morning, when God got a hold of my heart, I repented of my sins, I trusted Jesus Christ, He saved my soul. And I know last night I got saved, and my God that saved my soul can do anything. I believe He can put your marriage back together. But I can take you to someone that can help you know more about what I mean." I took him to my pastor so he could talk to him. About a month later, he's coming to church and hearing the preaching. We were witnessing to him and so forth and so on. At lunchtime, I set down my tray and I said, "You know, we're going to witness right here. And I'd learn, you know, the words that you say, you know. Joe, if you were to die right now, where would you go?" He said, "I'd go to heaven." He'd never answered that way before. I said, "What?" He said, "I'd go to heaven." The other night after the preaching, God got a hold of my heart. I went back to my room, got on my knees. I called on the Lord. And He saved my soul. I said, "Hallelujah." But you messed up my witnessing. I was all eager, folks. But I was so excited He got saved. He's still serving as a faithful man in a church over in Missouri some years later. You know, God wants us to spread the faith. God wants us to get that word out and talking to people. There's people in our home church that we led to the Lord before we went to Africa. We were traveling in Zimbabwe and we went every place. We gave out tracts everywhere we went, and we were up by Wangi, up on the north of Bulawayo, and we were traveling through there, and my car had a problem, and the hose burst, and water went all over the ground. And anyway, long story short, I needed something to help that engine after we got it put back together so it could go anywhere. So I went to all these gasoline stations, petrol stations, okay, looking for some STP or something equivalent to that, whatever they made in Zimbabwe. So anyway, they didn't have anything like that, but God had a plan. I went to about three or four gas stations looking for this, and then I pulled on this gas station, and we'd been there before, and before my back tires got across that, the man saw us, he jumped up, he had the track in his hand, he ran over to us. He said, "Are you the one that gave us this paper?" And I said, "Yes, we are." He said, "Would you tell me more?" How would you answer that, folks? "Well, you know, I've got this engine problem." That'd be the temptation, wouldn't it? No, we told him more. And he got saved. Isn't that wonderful? That's not the end of the story. They work for about 3 weeks and they go home for 2 weeks or whatever. And he said, "When I got done with work, I went home and I took the little paper with me and I gave it to my good friend. And I let them read that paper. And once they got done with the paper, they looked up at me and said, 'Tell me more.' And I told them the more that you told me." That's faith. Spread faith to faith. Where's your faith? It should be active. It should be alive. Listen, when I talk to somebody, I expect God to work in their life. What about walking up to someone and saying, "You know, young man, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. You see, all these people here, I've been asking God who to talk to, and He's directed me right to you. Seems like God's interested in you. Are you interested enough to hear what God says?" Why not? I know everybody's been witnessed to in Texas, but apparently somebody needs to be witnessed to some more. By faith, spreading the gospel, By faith, sending the missionary. How shall they call on Him of whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they go and preach except to be sent? And all of that, folks, is done by faith. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3. And I want to talk about one more thing. By faith. Sometimes when you're preaching, you feel like you know where you're going to start, and you're wondering where the Lord's going to finish you. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned. Is there any exceptions to that word all? Now listen, by faith, you need to understand that the Bible says to you that you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are an alien as far as God's household is concerned. You are lost, condemned, under the wrath of God. We can show you all of that in the Bible. By faith, you need to accept that. And it's all summed up right here, for all have sinned. So, since we're a sinner, we need to approach that situation by faith. Now, what else did he say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, God created us for His glory. He created all things, including man, for His glory. But here's the problem. You can't do what you're created to do because of sin. That's the problem. That's the culprit. Since Adam fell into sin, mankind has fallen into sin. And we have to come back to God. We have to be saved by the grace of God. And so we cannot give glory to God until that happens. So you need to come back to God, or come to God, to be saved. Now notice what he says in verse number 24. Being justified means saved, having your sins forgiven and made right with God. A judicial act based upon the blood of Jesus Christ washing away our sin. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. There's only salvation in Christ Jesus. There is no other Savior. There is no one else that can save your soul. It's only Jesus Christ. Only by Him. Verse 25, by whom God is set forth to be propitiation. In other words, they substitute to wash away your sin through faith in His blood. Your blood itself is not enough to save you from your sin. Bloods of bulls and goats and calves and chickens can never wash away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. Revelation 1, verse number 5, He said He washed us from our sin. When we go and get our clothes dirty and we put them in the water to wash them and we scrub them and so forth and so on, like in the old days. And what happened when you took the shirt out? The dirt stayed behind. Amen? So we call that process there repentance. I'm letting Him take them all away. I can't make Him Lord of my life because He's already Lord. God made Him that way, but I have to submit to that. Lord, You died for my sins. I give them all to You to wash away. I don't want to hold on to one of them at all. I want to be saved from them and from their penalty. And one day from their very presence. Whom God, verse 25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Religion is trying to find a way to God. What Jesus came to do is to make the way to God. He is the one that we go to. He is the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the fact that He is the life, the truth, the way, that means there's no one else. There's nothing else you can do to save your soul. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot get baptized to get yourself into heaven. It just simply will not work. That is not what God established baptism for. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. Point of faith. We make them every day. But yours might be here this morning. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let God deal with your heart about that. Some years ago, a man was witnessing to a man, and he told him he needed to be saved. And he said, "I'm not ready yet." Went back after a while and witnessed to him some more and went through the Scriptures. He said, "I'm not ready yet." Later, he went back and talked to him just before he got ready to die. He said, "It's too late. God's not dealing with my heart anymore." And the man died. He said, "I stood there that day at the funeral, and I saw a man in Christless clothes. I saw a man in a Christless coffin. I saw a man put in a Christless grave. I saw a man go into a Christless eternity simply because when he had opportunity, he did not put his faith in Jesus Christ." Are you saved? Let's stand to our feet, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, if you'll come and give the invitation. I don't know how you do that here, but I want to encourage you. If God's spoken to your heart, when this invitation is given, you need to be saved. Here's what will happen. Somebody will come and talk with you. You need to come and tell us and say, "I want to be saved." Somebody will come and talk to you and they'll show you how to be saved. They'll open their Bible and explain to you some of these things. If you have questions, they'll answer the questions. If today is not enough time, they'll come and see you at your home. They'll meet you at a coffee shop. Whatever it takes. They're willing to do that. But you need to make the move. Say, "I want that Christ." Father, this is your invitation. We give it in your holy name. Compelling men to come to your house, but to come to you that they might be saved. Father, we lift up Christ today because He's the Savior. And He holds out His hands saying, "Come unto me. Ye that are weak and weary and heaven laden, now give your rest." Father, some need to be saved and find that rest. Others that are saved, they need to find that faith in Christ that gives them that same rest. Father, deal with us as you please. In Jesus' name. Preacher, if you'll come.
Beloved, there's not a thing in the world I could add to what Brother Wyatt's preached this morning. Say that very simply. Salvation's a matter of, as the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I were to ask you today, where will you spend eternity? And you responded like the gentleman did that Brother Wyatt mentioned, "I'm going to spend it in heaven." Could you tell me why? How? Why should God let you spend eternity in heaven? What would be your explanation? How do you know you're saved? We're going to sing in a moment. And I'm asking you. I'm asking you, first of all, to be honest with God and honest with yourself. How do you know? Or let me say it this way. Where will you spend eternity? You will spend eternity somewhere. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. You will spend eternity somewhere. Will it be with Christ in glory? Or you spend eternity under the judgment of God for your sin? Which is it, beloved? As we sing, I plead with you, if you're here today, if there's any question about that, where you will spend eternity, please come. I'm going to stand right here. And if you need to be saved, please come. Take this preacher by the hand and say, "Preacher, I'm here today because I want to know I'm saved. I need to be saved." Someone will take you and they'll explain to you what Jesus did for you. Do you need to be saved? Please, please, don't leave this place without Jesus Christ. Brother John. As we sing, please obey the Lord. Do what He'd have you to do.
By sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in the Lord. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Just a moment. You know, I if you know Jim Turner and how we do invitations here, you know I'm not one that stands here and begs folks. You've heard the Word of God. And I believe the Spirit of God is able to work in your heart without me begging you to do what you know you need to do. There may well be some folks here today that need to be saved. There may be some folks here today that need to get some things straight with God. There may be some folks here that need to submit to baptism and become part of this church, or just get in this church, become part of this church, and start serving God. There's nothing greater than saved for 41 years, going on 41 years. I've not regretted given my life, oh my, surrendering my life to Christ one moment in those 40 years. It doesn't get any better than what Christ does for us. So please, whatever the need is, please obey the Lord today. These altars are open. Do what God would have you to do. Sing another verse.
Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Thank you. Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Wyatt. Thank you for the Word of God today. Grateful for the Lord speaking to my heart. And again, I never get tired of the gospel. Never get tired of God speaking to me through those simple, beautiful, eternal truths. Well, as Curtis said a little while ago, I expect most everybody here is going to eat somewhere over the next little bit. And there's a whole lot of food back there in the fellowship hall, so why should you go hunting for food somewhere else? Might just as well stay here. And you said, well, I didn't know it was Fifth Sunday, didn't bring anything. That's okay. I didn't bring anything either. I just brought my cook with me. No, we always have plenty, and it's our pleasure, it's our honor for you to come and eat with us, and we'll have an afternoon service after we get finished eating. Would ask you to pray for the Wyatts. They'll be hopefully be able to share a bite with us, and they've got to travel over to Canton, Texas, this afternoon, being a service this evening. So please be in prayer for them as they do that. Brother John, would you come and ask the Lord's blessing on our lunch? And of course, if you're not aware, you go through these doors and follow your nose, and you'll come to the right place. We'll have those doors open and make our way out this way. Please, please eat with us.